This is a previously recorded episode. This show is broadcasting live from Detroit Sound Studios above Activate Gaming and is part of the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
I'm really nervous to talk to her because I know nothing about fitness or anything.
I'm glad
else.
I missed that show.
Oh, yeah. No, but they're going to be back. They're going to come back right before the holidays and help people get mentally healthy before
Wonderful.
The holidays. Yeah, they were fantastic. So, and then we have Rocky's back.
Hey.
She did a great job of co-hosting when you were gone.
Did you get a word in edgewise?
No.
Like this
edgewise.
Many words.
Well, it's so funny because after the show was over, I said, why didn't you ask any questions? Why weren't you doing the interview? What's wrong? And she said, you didn't stop for a minute. You didn't even come up for air. She goes, I didn't know what to do.
And being the lovely young woman that she is, she didn't want to interrupt you.
No, I know.
I, on the other hand, will interrupt you.
Oh, yeah.
All the time.
I know. So I'm glad to have you back.
I know. I'm so glad to be back.
But tell me what you've been doing.
Oh boy, where do I start? Well, a little bit of this and a little bit of that, a little bit of work, a lot of vacation. Uh-huh. Though if my husband's listening, it was all work, no vacation. Uh-huh. Right? Hi, honey. And I went over to Holland for a week, and then I went to Iowa for the Miss Wheelchair America pageant.
Okay, so how did you even get involved in that?
I got a phone call several months ago, almost a year ago. And the director asked me if I'd be a judge. She was familiar with my books, and she mm-hmm. thought that the messages in my books would be a great fit for the pageant.
Oh, cool.
And I thought about it for a very short amount of time, and I thought, I don't think this is something I can turn down.
Oh, yeah.
And it was life-altering at the very least.
Really?
It was a really cool event. That's a terrible word
to use,
cool.
How long has it been around? I mean, I've never heard of it.
You know what? You're not the only one. And I will say that for as long as it's been around, 44 years, it could be they need more publicity, if you will, and they need more people, because the idea is to find a spokesperson.
Mm-hmm.
All of these women, there were 25 contestants, so even all the states aren't even represented.
Okay.
But there were 25 states represented, and they're all in wheelchairs for various reasons. Some were born with a disability. There was one woman who was a drive-by shooting.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was amazing stories. Matter of fact, USA Today had a great article, and they videotaped her talking about the day she got shot.
Wow.
And you should listen to it. It's just, I could go on and on, and I don't want to take up too much time. Some of them had an accident, a car accident.
Oh, wow.
Some of them were because of abuse.
Ugh.
You wouldn't believe the speeches. Friday night, each contestant gave a two-minute speech, and they all have a platform. They all have something that they're advocating for
mm-hmm.
In terms of disabilities, whether it's the parking spot. Matter of fact, one of the speeches was called that, the parking spot.
Mm-hmm.
And she started off by saying, it's not just a parking spot. A lot of platforms, if you will. And, you know, I left there thinking, I don't have a platform. I mean, shouldn't we all have a platform?
Right.
Kind of thing. Like, all these women are working so hard after something happened to them that changed their life to make life better for other people.
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Wow.
So it was an amazing experience. There were five judges. We started on Tuesday. We interviewed each woman three times.
Wow.
And then on Saturday.
Now, were you given the questions to ask them? Or
we were
how
given
did you interview them?
List, pages of questions. And then we were allowed to make up our own. So several of the meetings that the judges, that we would have as judges, were, you know, looking over the questions and then, in many cases, making up our own.
Okay.
Things that we could really help us decide. I think the thing that felt the oddest for me is that I didn't even like that I was a judge.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, who am I to judge you?
Yeah.
You know?
Right, right.
And so, but we did, and we ended up, Miss Alette Coble Temple, Miss California, was the winner.
Okay, now, when I talked to you, that's who you thought was going to win, right?
You know, yes. I mean, she just is an amazing woman. She's accomplished so much. I heard from another judge that on her way home from the pageant on the airplane, she was mm-hmm. talking to one of the contestants' moms. And the contestant's mom was, she was rooting for the underdog. She thought that Miss California had already accomplished so much. And
okay,
I know.
Really?
I know. You didn't get to see the look Jackie just made, but I had that same reaction. Should we not give it to the person that has done so much.
Well, it's not like it was handed to her, right? I mean, she worked for it.
Oh,
right.
That's the other thing. There's no age limit. So she's 45 years old.
Okay.
This isn't a beauty pageant.
Oh, okay, cool. Mm-hmm.
This is all ages and anybody can enter and all of that. But anyway, she was just so deserving. She was so articulate. She actually is the first Miss Wheelchair America that has a severe speech impediment.
Wow, no kidding.
And in the beginning, I remember thinking, I'm never going to be able to understand her. And she said something in response to what people would say to her. No, you can't be in my class because you can't speak.
Mm.
And she said, slow down and listen to me.
Wow.
And I had to. And what she says is so amazing, and she will be just a wonderful representative for the pageant.
Wow.
That was a week of 3 weeks leaving you alone with your beautiful co-host, Rocky.
So who were the top five?
Well, there were – oh, boy. I'm going to tell you a quick story.
Okay.
So the night of the pageant, they announced the top five, Miss California, Miss Maryland, Miss Mississippi, Miss Georgia, and Miss Florida.
Oh, okay.
And I'm thinking we did a good job. We've got five great representatives. Mm-hmm. If any one of them wins, though in my mind I thought, okay, this one probably will be my fourth pick. And, you know, mm-hmm. in my head I'm kind of going up and I still am rooting for Miss California.
Yeah.
And the MC starts reading the names.
Uh-huh.
And I'm thinking,
of what the top five.
Of what the top five were. So the fourth runner-up is, the third runner, blah, blah. Well, after all the hoopla and they announce the winner and you know, the cameras are flashing and all of that, the judge next to me turns to me and she said, she had just got done talking to the MC and she turned to me and she said, he read the names of the runner-ups backwards. So the fourth runner-up was really
no
first runner-up. It was terrible.
Are you kidding me?
No.
So then what happened?
Well, the director, as he was reading him, knew that he was reading him wrong, but she was, as she said, like a
what
deer
do you
in
do?
The yeah
yeah,
we all felt she should have jumped up and gone up to him and said, "Wait a minute, stop!"
Oh my God!
But she didn't, and she didn't jump up partly because she's
so the first runner up was actually the person in fourth place.
Oh, so Miss Mississippi was the first runner up, but she was read as the fourth runner up. So after all the hoopla died down and all the judges were distraught. We're like, well, this isn't right. We need to do something about this. So, and it was the MC's fault, though I don't know how it looked on paper to him. You know, was it clear? So we all ended up going to a room. We took all the contestants, the five runner, you know, the winner, and then the four runners up. Because it didn't affect the winner.
Uh-huh. Right.
Miss California.
Right.
And got them in a room and the director told
them. And you had to strip them of their title?
It was
their position.
They were so classy about it.
Yeah.
The fourth runner up turned to the first runner up she said, "You didn't get your chance to shine on stage."
Oh my God, really?
It was a
wow.
But, you know, it was a mess up and we tried to make it right.
So did it get corrected on stage so that the audience knew or no?
Nope. The next day at the breakfast, the going away breakfast, and we did pull in the parents of those and then told them.
Yeah. Oh, how were the parents?
Well, they were also gracious.
Oh, they were?
They were more gracious than I would have been.
I always picture, you know, pageant parents, you know.
You know, it just makes you wonder how often does, you know, do mistakes like that happen that are just covered up and brushed under the rug and whatever. But it was a great experience. I would do it again in a heartbeat. Next year it's in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Oh, is it really?
It is. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
So,
wow.
Yeah, we'll have
maybe
to.
Maybe the Nooner show can.
Yeah,
go.
I'd like to get Miss California, Alette, on the show.
Oh, that would be great.
Dr. Alette, I should say.
She's a doctor?
She's a doctor.
Wow.
Yeah, she's amazing. So,
wow.
So, what have you been doing?
Well, let's see. Interviewing people. I did take a couple days off, though, while you were gone.
She makes it sound like she works so hard while I was gone.
I do. All the time. I'm not the one with the summer bucket list. You are, you know? And everybody keeps reminding me, don't you talk about a summer bucket list on your show? It's like, I haven't talked about it in 3 weeks. Not my thing. Denise's.
How are you doing on that bucket list?
It's somewhere in the pile. I don't know. But anyway.
There's a list going on.
There's a list. I don't know that I would call it a summer. It's a summer to-do list. It's a honey-do list.
Yeah.
John has the list.
Yeah. Is John listening today, by the way?
I don't know. I hope so.
You know, I had kind of hoped that this is one of the first shows that we are streaming.
Yes.
And streaming, hopefully, well in our millions of listeners.
Well, we think it's live today.
We think it's live today. Absolutely.
It was funny because we got kind of nervous and said, oh, no, we liked it when nobody was listening so that we could tell everybody it was a great show.
We liked coming to the studio, having a couple drinks, and just talking to each other.
With headphones on.
Because we look really cute in headphones. Well, I thought it would be really fun because Bob's listening, right? Oh. I'm hoping. And I thought it would be really fun if maybe we talked about our husbands. Wink, wink. As a matter of fact, I brought my book, 101 Ways to Torture Your Husband.
You need a book for that? I don't think you need a book for that.
You don't need a book.
Yeah, well, I don't think you do either.
Yeah,
but hey, our CEO, Rebecca Nelson, where is she at?
Becca Bowie.
Where is she?
Our CEO, I don't know what it is in our family, because she is my daughter, by the way. They seem to think vacations are a good thing. So she's on vacation.
She's on vacation, our first show at our new studio. Neither of us know how to do Facebook or anything else. And it's like, where's our CEO? I mean, we gave her that title. She gets no money, but she has the title.
She doesn't. So. What do you mean she gets no money? I'm paying her all the time.
You pay her with those stupid text messages saying, as soon as I get rich and famous, I'm going to take care of you. It's like, Denise, I think she knows by now.
I sent her a text this morning wanting her to, you know, find something for me for the show today. You know what she texted me back?
What?
If I have time, I'm going shopping.
Good for you, Becca.
I know. That's our CEO.
No, but seriously, where is she? On vacation.
Well, she's with Neil, who I keep telling you we are going to have on this show. So if you're listening,
really funny guy.
He's hilarious, and his wife is adorable. She's funny, too, but she's funny just because she has to put up with him. But yes, no, they're having a great time.
Where are they?
Where are they? Oh, Gulf Shores.
Oh.
They're on the beach. They have a condo.
Oh, nice.
Pool. Becca's been sending me some pictures. Mm-hmm. And
I've seen her sip on the segments that are going on all day long.
Yes.
Keeps posting pictures of alcohol.
As a matter of fact, she's the one that came up with our drink for today, which is later.
So she is working.
Well,
she's still working.
She's always working.
Good.
She's on the ball.
Okay.
But love you, Beck.
We miss you, Beck.
Yes, we do.
Okay. Anyways, so while you were gone doing all your...
You're not going to let me forget that I was gone, are you?
No.
Okay.
And don't leave again.
No, I'm not going anywhere.
Did you get a chance to read any of the Jimmy Hoffa articles? Or, you know, Jimmy Hoffa's been missing for 40 years now as of July 30th. He's been... Nobody knows where he's at.
I read his biography while I was on vacation.
Did you really?
No.
Oh, I was going to say, really? You read a Jimmy Hoffa biography? Seriously? That was good. Okay, so
hell no, I didn't read Jimmy Hoffa's biography.
Okay.
But
right.
I did.
No.
I did look him up when you told me that you wanted to talk about Jimmy Hoffa, and I was
here's the thing.
Pretty astounded.
Yeah, well, here's the whole thing.
Okay.
Because I started thinking about it. I read the newspaper article, and, you know, of course, it's online all over. What fascinates me about this whole thing is that the code of silence, that, like, nobody leaked anything. And I started thinking of my circle of friends and family. And nobody can hold a secret for more than a day. I mean, I cannot imagine the people involved taking that secret to their grave. Like, 40 years later, nobody said anything.
It doesn't happen. That's how people get caught. They say that if there's more than one person involved in something, somebody
is going to leak. Can you imagine today, too, with cell phones and everything else, videotaping the murder or whatever, that's what happened, you know?
And just that he was so well-known that haven't found him, though I read that they think the reason they haven't found him is because they put his body through a wood chipper.
But regardless,
nobody told that.
Yeah.
They're just those are speculations.
Exactly.
Rumors and all of that.
Well, I mean, think of your circle of people. Can anyone keep a secret?
I can.
Really?
Well, yeah.
For 40 years. you wouldn't go up to somebody else and say, okay, don't say anything, but.
No, I can't keep a secret because if somebody tells me something and they say, now you can't tell anyone, I say, I at least have to be able to tell Bob. So.
Oh, you do say that though.
I do.
Okay. Well,
because I'm going to tell him. I have to tell him.
I'm going to test you right now.
Uh-oh.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to give you a little hypothetical.
My first day back to work, and I already get a test. I feel like I'm back in high school again.
No, no. Listen, I'm going to give you a hypothetical scenario, and I want to know if you could hold on to the secret or and take it to the grave, or do you think you would have to tell?
Okay.
Okay.
I'm
this
all
is
ears.
Kind of a this is a little tricky here. So okay, let me explain it.
Let me hear it.
This your very very best friend from school. We're going to call her Jane Doe.
Okay.
Jane Doe was married to John Doe. Okay. So you know both of them. You've been friends with them for years. But she is your very best friend. You'd do anything for her. She would do anything for you. John Doe, all of a sudden, has a heart attack and dies, like unexpectedly. He wasn't sick, nothing. Okay, so everybody's in shock, you know, mourning the loss. I mean, it just you're there for your best friend, right?
Okay.
John Doe's cell phone is in the hands of his wife, Jane Doe, and there's text messages coming through from an initial, somebody with just an initial K. There's no name, right? And it just says, hey, what's going on? I haven't heard from you. Hey, hello, what's up? Haven't heard from you. Right now, Jane Doe, your best friend, is mourning the loss of her husband, but she's seen these text messages. So she's trying to go through the phone. There's nothing else. Nothing else, just the initial K. She responds to K and says, hey, this is Jane Doe. John died. Who is this? Right? No answer, no nothing.
I'm on the edge of my seat.
Well, just hold on.
Okay.
So, you know, your best friend confides in you and says, because, you know, despite everything she's going through, that's still kind of unsettling. She has no idea who this is. And no other indication on the phone of who it could be. I mean, it could be Carl, it could be Kevin, it could be a drug deal, it could be, not that he was into drugs or anything like that, but, you know, it could be Kelly, it could be Carla, who knows who it could be, right?
Okay.
So she gives you the number and the contact and says, I need you to find out who this is. Contact them, try and find out who this is. I don't know what this is about. So as her best friend, you do, and you act like you're John Doe's buddy, not Jane Doe's best friend, and you're contacting Kay. And come to find out over a period of time, you guys exchange emails, you befriend this person, only to find out that this is John Doe's longtime girlfriend in another state who did not realize that there was a Jane Doe because she thought he was a widow and Jane Doe had died.
Okay.
Okay. So, and then you find out that he had actually even proposed to this person named Kay. What would you do? And now you have Jane Doe asking you, have you heard anything? She's constantly on you about it. What, can you try this? Can you say this? What would you do with that information?
I'm just going to say the first thing that's coming to my mind, I would not tell her for sure.
Yeah, I agree with you.
No way. No how.
Right.
You know, there's a few things that you know, if she had to know because he had another wife somewhere in another state. But they're not. They weren't married.
No.
No. I would make up some story, and I would feel better about her just being able to mourn the loss of her husband and move on with it. No way. Uh-uh.
I agree.
Now, if he was still alive.
Oh, that's a different story.
You don't want to know. Yeah. Talk about 101 ways to torture someone else's husband.
Well, because I was thinking if he was on life support, for example, then I would tell her. Because if it were me, I would want his last words that he heard me say would be bye-bye as I pull the plug.
Okay, I'll keep that in mind if I ever find John's phone. No, for sure. No
so you
doubt.
Definitely, and you wouldn't tell anybody else. You would just delete it from your mind, take it to the grave.
I hope I wouldn't tell anybody else because it would serve no good.
Right.
And I would just tell the other woman he died and let's just let it.
Yep.
Let the relationship die and, you know.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, I could keep that secret. Couldn't you, Rocky?
I think so. I don't know. I'd be like, oh, my God.
Yeah, but you wouldn't want to hurt your friend.
I would go back and kill him myself.
Right, yeah. But he already, he died.
Yeah, and, I agree.
And according to I read a study that said that keeping secrets can hurt us, harm us.
Okay.
And neuroscientists and all this stuff. So that maybe that's what happened. He was keeping a secret from her, and that's what he died from.
It could be. Ooh, you're right.
Karma.
But this is hypothetical. So,
I know. You know. You're really good at hypotheticals. That was a pretty detailed story. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll just leave it like that.
Yeah, right.
There
okay.
you go.
All right.
So anyway, our segment today, which we have on every show, what's the wish, what's the way, and what's in the way.
Yep.
And we talk about that all the time, how the setbacks become the comebacks, how people don't just dream it, but they actually do it, feature a variety of guests. And so today, Rocky Valouse, singer-songwriter, lovely Rocky Valouse, is our guest today for our segment.
Yes, they're very lovely.
I think she came really because of the sip on this segment.
I was ready for a real drink and not the whatever she was bringing.
Well, wait till you hear the name of this one.
Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah, we're going to do later, right?
Yes, we're going to do that after we interview Rocky.
So, Rocky, you started off this morning, though, with a bit of a video shoot, right?
Yeah, we just had to do a couple shots for my video for a stomp, which will be coming out shortly.
So how fun.
Yeah.
So cool. How'd it go?
It was good. It was really fun. And I was there at Metro 37.
Love Kevin Sharp.
Yeah,
hi, Kevin.
Kevin Sharp. He was nice enough to let me use his beautiful studio. So he's redone a lot of it. And it looks amazing.
Did he show you the pictures of him hanging out with Alice Cooper?
No, he didn't. We didn't have much time because I had to be here. I was 2 minutes late.
So. Yeah. I said, Denise said, she'll be here anytime. I said, no, she's a musician. She'll be late. She'll be late.
2 minutes late.
Actually, you did really good. I mean,
yes, you did. We appreciate the fact that you left there and came here.
Yeah.
Oh, it was a quick shoot. We just had to get a couple shots. It was with Brian Pastoria and Jimmy Romeo.
Yeah, we're going to have those guys on, too.
Absolutely.
Okay, so you guys are talking music because you know, and you know shoots and all that. But you're talking about just a photo shoot?
A video shoot.
A video shoot.
So we've done the whole video off of GoPro. So they're like action. You know, they're used a lot in like sports and stuff like that. So
I've seen them.
Not a whole lot in music videos. So we decided to use GoPro just because it's like super easy to use and it's, you know, kind of like a... You know, you can do it yourself. So we're kind of doing a DIY video, which, I mean, he's got years and years of experience in doing videos. He does a lot of, like, commercial work. And so he's in the next one, and we'll make a cinema, you know,
He's
video.
A cool guy.
He's very cool.
See, when I met him, I kind of thought, he's like the Godfather or something. He's just like.
Really?
You were scared of him, that type of guy.
So you're dancing and singing and all that good stuff.
Not really dancing. I don't really dance a whole lot. Not much of a dancer.
But boy, can she sing. As a matter of fact, we should remind everybody that our theme song is Rocky's song.
Right. This time the bitch got the last word.
That's our theme song.
Thanks,
and we're actually going to play, two of your songs today.
Yeah. Yep. I have a new song that'll be coming out. I'll be releasing it on SoundCloud.
And this is the first time you're releasing
it. Yeah, and this is the first time. It hasn't been heard until today. This will be the first time it's being released in any sort of way. So this is, I'll be putting
it out
on SoundCloud.
On the Nooner Show.
I know, I'm excited. Now, I have to ask a question. Do you do your own makeup?
Yes.
She walks in here looking like she just came from a photo shoot, and it's like, wow.
Yeah. Nope. Hey, did you give Jessica your songs?
Yep.
Oh, so the first song that we're going to hear, though, but go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt. I just want to make sure the music's organized.
You're just not used to having a co-host, right?
I know.
Let's go back, because... And now, first of all, I have to explain something here because their little chitter chatter here is we've got mother and daughter. I can tell everybody that, right?
Momager.
Momager. Yes, actually, that's one of my questions.
Oh,
so,
God.
Jackie, my beautiful co-host, is the mother of our beautiful and talented. Not that you're not talented, Jackie, but I'm gonna.
That's okay.
Yeah, okay.
I'm not talented. I can't even work this mic right now. So.
I mean,
thank you for the nice compliment.
Yes. So, you know, mother, daughter here. And so they know everything about each other, pretty much. Mm-hmm. One of my questions was going to be for you, who has been your favorite manager so far?
Oh, gosh. Well, you know, it's like funny because, like, you know, my mom and I have been working together, I mean, since I was little. Like, she was always, you know, coaching me. Gotta practice. Get up. Stop watching TV. Go practice. You know, so she was just on, you know, since I was really little, if you want to do this, you're not going to do it by watching TV. You got to get up. You got to go. So it was like that mentality since I was really little. And like, I always tell people, have you seen the movie Whiplash?
No.
It's a really, really awesome movie. I actually watched it on the plane on the way home from Cancun. But it was just an awesome movie in the director of the band, it's a kid, he's a drummer, and he wants to be a great drummer, and he goes to this jam band, which is really elite in this college, and he gets in, and the first day of rehearsal, or one of the first rehearsals, the director throws a chair at him, because he's off-tempo, and so, like, that movie just, like, reminded me of my mom, so every time...
you know what, I have never thrown a piece of furniture in my life, because I would not hurt furniture, ever. So I don't know where you get that from.
You just do. You throw cups at me. Yeah.
I do not throw things.
She, yes. Wow.
But she, every time someone asks me like about her.
That's
like,
what you refer to?
No one.
I need to watch the movie. I've never seen the movie.
I'm going to need to watch the movie too. But look at where you are. Right?
Oh, yeah. So, I wouldn't have been able to do it without her.
Yeah, there
sure,
we go.
So. I think it was probably the knives I was throwing, not the chair.
Not the chair. Yeah, the knives. So, okay, let's just fill our listeners in a little bit here. You're young. You're in your 20s. Mm-hmm. And you have come, I mean, for as young as you are, you have accomplished a lot.
Oh, thanks.
Now, I vaguely remember, because I've known Jackie for years and years and years, you were really young when you started singing.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. I guess a couple of questions that come to my mind. Did you always love to sing?
Yes.
Okay.
I just love to sing. That is it. Like I love the way it makes me feel. I love everything about it. It's I think I started singing like I had been wanting her to give me voice lessons for a really long time when I was really little.
I remember that.
And she was like, I don't know what to tell you. No one's going to take you. You're like five. Like there's nothing
yeah,
I can do.
We had a really hard time finding, you know, somebody that would work with her. So
young. You were that young when you started voice lessons.
Yeah, I was probably 6 or 7. Yeah.
Wow.
So I started working and she was always mad at me because I wasn't very good in school. And she
was terrible in school. Let's not sugarcoat it here. It wasn't like
I was a kind of an asshole as a child.
She was
you know
a
what,
little
though?
Troublemaker.
You know, we hear so many stories of that, mm-hmm. though. And it goes back to what that book I was telling you about, Jack, now I can't remember the name of it, but that we tend to dwell on people's weaknesses as opposed to their strengths.
Right.
And you're lucky that you had a mom and a dad that really did focus on a strength that you had.
Yeah.
I think what really happened was I would pick her up from school instead of having her take the bus. And every time I would go pick her up, she'd say, Mrs. So-and-so wants to talk to you. And it was just annoying because I knew what they were going to say. And I just want to say, look, the kid's out of control. I get it. I know.
But she's going to be something someday.
Well, one day I was driving her home. She was sitting in the back seat in her little seat belt car seat thing. And I was lecturing because I had just had it. I was so sick of going in and meeting with the teachers and listening to, you know, they always kind of like...
Make you feel bad.
Yeah, they make you feel bad, you know, as if I'm encouraging this behavior at home or something because I like it. So I was lecturing her. I was heated. I was mad. And she said, don't worry about it, Mom. And she looked out the rear view window. I don't know if I ever told you this story. She said, I'm going to be a singer. And I was just like, oh, shit. Great. This is just great. Because she was my firstborn. See, and all my friends had the perfect little kids where they were, you know, student of the month and this and that. And mine was a little rebel. And she's telling me, oh, don't worry about it, Mom. I'm going to be a singer.
I love that.
And look at today. I was like.
And look at today, which we need to get to that. Because this whole segment is about you have a wish. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like at a very early age. I wish to be a singer.
Yeah.
And then finding the way. And then I know there's a lot of things that get in the way. So let me just keep asking a few questions here. So you said you love singing.
Mm-hmm.
Do you sing in the shower?
I sing everywhere.
Oh, good.
I sing in the showers, mostly in my car. Like I am a jammer in my car. Like
you're like Aretha Franklin in your car, right?
Like I love it.
I am too, but I can't sing.
A couple things. Tell us a little bit about your journey. So you started off really young, and then kind of fill everybody in about what happened along the way.
Well, I started really young. I started with voice lessons just like at the local music school. And then when I was like 13, I took my first opera lesson, and I sang opera until I was 18.
Wow.
And then when I was 18, I was doing 34 Bliss at the time, and my plan was to go away to school to study music. And then at that same time, I was kind of like, well, you know, when you sing opera or when you sing classical, like, it's very much like you read what's on the page of music and you sing it that way, you know, and there's very little room for creativity or to kind of find your own voice. So as I was kind of like coming into my own, you know, on my original band, which is 34 Bliss, like, you know, doing that and writing my own material and, you know, I can sing it whatever way I wanted, you know. So kind of coming to that, I was like, oh, okay, you know, maybe this whole going to school for music thing isn't really, I'm not really cut out for that. So I decided to go to school for business. And in like 34 Bliss, we were playing a lot of shows. And I was actually, it was with Kevin Sharp, because with who I was with today at Metro 37, we started working with him. And I was still in my classical mindset. And he said, you know, my first couple shows, he's like, you're just not good on stage. Like, you're not, you know, you're awkward. It's really uncomfortable to watch. Like, you're just not very good. I was like, okay. So we hired a choreographer, and I learned to move a little bit. I don't know if you should call it dancing. But so, and then, you know, just kind of really, she coached me into, like, being able to, like, connect physically with the music as well as, like, you know, vocally. And then I took gospel lessons for like another year to like really kind of break the mold of opera. You know, opera teaches you so many good things as a singer, to like, you know, stamina and being able to sing properly and, you know, not ruin your voice every turn. Then I did gospel for a year, and then I kind of stopped taking lessons and have just been kind of working on writing and that.
So you write your own music?
I co-write a lot of my music. Okay. I've like kind of getting into writing it like solely on my own at this point. But I've been writing. I met Frankie Turner, who I am signed with now, probably about a year and a half, 2 years ago now.
Tell everybody a little bit about that. Yeah, because that's a big deal.
Well, yeah, in the whole Zen Bulldog label.
Yeah. Yep. So I was working with the label in Royal Oak, and then I met Frankie. He was asked to come and check me out, because I was really at a point where I didn't know where I wanted to go with music. I just knew that the hard rock thing wasn't really my style. It wasn't really working for me anymore. And I just wanted to sing. Like, I want to sing for a living. So, you know, it doesn't really matter to me what I'm singing. I do have stories to tell. And he kind of has been coaching me on getting those stories into songs. Mm. But I love to sing, and that's just it. Like, I love it. So I was kind of like at this point where I didn't know. Like, I love rock music, but, you know, how can I make this something where I can do it for a living and not have to get a real job? So he kind of came in, and we had all these songs from, like, all across the board. I had, like, a rock song. I had kind of, like, a southern rock song. I had, like, a really pop song. And I just was like, I don't know where to go with any of these. And at that point, I was, like, co-writing with Bill David. And so we were kind of working on everything. He was doing a lot of the music. I was doing all of the melodies and lyrics. And I was just kind of, like, at a standstill. Like, I didn't know what to do. And he is so good. Like, he came in and was just like, I know where you're going. Like, I can – he's like, we just got to figure out where – like, how to get you there. So he had just a catalog of songs. And there was a couple of them. Stomp is one of them that I –
Is this Frankie you're talking about?
Yep, Frankie. I just loved the songs. And he has a very interesting story, which I can't wait till you guys have him on
the show.
Yeah,
we are going to have him on.
Oh, good.
He's got a great story. But he had this catalog of songs, because he's a writer and he signed with BMG. And he had these songs that he made from, like, old blues songs. Like, he took old blues songs and he sampled them and made them into beats. So instead of having, like, you know, traditional rock guitars, or, you know, they still have a very edgy feel, but at the same time they're very fresh in the way that they sound. Which totally sat with me, because one of my first live experiences was with a blues band. So I was like,
you've done it all.
So you start working with Frankie, mm-hmm. and then you end up in New York.
Yeah, Frankie, we were kind of working together, and I think he was just kind of feeling out the situation, like feeling out how I was as just a human being and how I was as a writer and how I was as kind of a student, because he's very much my coach. And the whole time he was kind of consulting with Tommy Valentino, who they have a company called Zen Bulldog, which I'm now signed to. And they were kind of going back and forth. And I remember, like, one of the very first times, you know, because he had always said, you know, I would like to bring this to him when it's kind of a more complete project, like when there's something a little bit more, there's more substance to what you're doing and you kind of have a more clear direction, like, I'd like to bring it to him. So we were kind of going back and forth, and one of the things that Tommy said was, is she cool? Like, is she, like, what's she like? Like, what's her personality? Is she crazy? She's not crazy, is she? I was like, well, I was like, that's kind of like loosely, like, I think, you know, there's some insanity.
Cool, but not crazy. Yeah. Absolutely. But,
so it was just kind of funny. Like, those were like his, at the beginning, that was like his main concern. Is she crazy? Is she cool? Like,
so now, this past week, or I think it was last mm-hmm. week, in the Detroit Free Press, there was an article about Kid Rock before the fame. And it was written by Brian McCollum, I think. And it was a great story about the very beginning, like a lot of stuff that we didn't know. Well, Tommy Valentino is quoted quite a bit in here because he was, mm-hmm. I think, one of, or the mastermind.
Yeah. Behind Kid Rock?
Behind Kid Rock.
Not,
or one of them.
He was the guy who really saw that there was potential and
right.
talent there. And
he's a lawyer,
guy,
right?
Yeah, he's an entertainment attorney.
To the level that he needed to be at.
In New York.
Okay.
But he's quoted quite a bit in this article. Mm-hmm.
Now, is Tommy Valentino part of...
Yeah,
he's the
founder of Zimbulldog.
And Frankie are partners.
Oh, yeah. Wonderful. Yep. Wow. Mm-hmm. So, okay, I have to ask a kind of off subject a little bit, but... When you sign for this and your friends hear about it, mm-hmm. how do they react?
I think they think it's cool, you know, like they don't really – I kind of keep everything separate, you know, and I think that like my closest friends, it doesn't really like shock them. You know, I've been doing this for so long and I mean my best friend Callie, like she, you know, she's known me for a million years. And so for her, I told her she was one of the very first people. She was actually there when it happened and she was all excited about it. But it's just been something I've been doing. It's been a part of my life for so long that I don't think people can identify me without it.
Yeah. Okay. I just wondered if there's ever any jealousy for, you know, your success.
If they do, they don't tell me, you know, right, they don't, no right. one says anything to me about
no,
it.
No, that's good. That's good. Do you practice?
Yes. Yep.
Like every, I mean, well, I know you sing all the time. Is that
yeah.
practice?
Well, I do practice. Like I, especially like, I just did a gig actually with Frankie. It was really, really cool. I did a wedding band gig. I've never sang in a wedding before. And, but just the musicians that I was able to play with was pretty cool. And, so I practiced a lot for that and it kind of, every different musician that you play with, you learn from everybody. So they were kind of, I've never played with horns before.
Oh.
So there was a whole horn section. So I've actually like taken up to listening to more music and practicing more music with horns in it. Like a lot of like the Motown music and stuff like that is really heavy with that stuff.
You sound so, like you said, opera and the blues and...
Diverse.
Yeah, diverse. Thank you. That was the word. Where do you see yourself, like, in 5 years? You know, we talked about the what's the wish and what's the mm-hmm. way. So what's your wish or your dream down the road? What do you see yourself doing? Like, where would you love to perform?
Everywhere, I guess. Like, I just would love to be, you know, I think in, you know, I... My goal is to be a stadium act. Like I've always said, like I don't want to play. You know, I will start off like playing theaters and stuff, but I really want to be a stadium act. Like I want to go in and play to thousands upon thousands of people. So that's kind of, you know. And there's like I have messages. You know, I think that like one of my missions in life is really to just help people find their dream. So it's like people are always behind a certain cause. And I think one of the saddest things is that people don't have a cause and they don't know what their cause is. So that's part of like my overall plan. Like as many people as I can reach through music, but then kind of like get this like message out that, you know, everyone has their thing and they can do whatever they want to do.
Their passion, you know, their life. It's like what I was saying about the
pageant.
Contestants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, they
right.
all have this platform of things that they're trying to do and,
right.
and goals and all of that. And,
right.
you know, I think that's yeah. that's
who,
a great goal.
Who would
goal.
You most want to perform with?
With?
Yeah. Like side by side on stage.
Side by side on stage.
You can give us like a few.
Yeah, because I think there's so many. I'd love to play with Carlos Santana. I was like a little kid, like I grew up listening to Carlos Santana. So I'd love to play alongside... Who else would I think, I don't know. There's so many. Like, Lady Gaga, I'm a huge Lady Gaga fan. I would
great.
Die to play with her. She has, you know, she did the Sound of Music when she did that whole medley, I like was crying.
Oh, I could see the two of you together.
But yeah, I think those are some of my Aretha Franklin. I would kill to play with Aretha
Franklin. Can we listen to one of your songs right now?
Absolutely. And you know, we're big about putting things out there. You know, send it out to the universe.
So yep.
If you and don't you think that in part is why this is happening? That you?
Oh, I definitely think.
I mean,
so.
You're a big believer in that, and.
We're going to play one of her songs right now.
What song is this?
We're going to play Head Rush.
Okay.
And is this new?
No, it's newer, but it's not your newly.
No, it's not my new release. This is out on SoundCloud. You can go check it out.
Okay.
Anytime.
We're going to end the show with her brand new. Nobody's heard yet.
Nobody's heard it except on the Nooner Show.
Yep.
So awesome.
Right now we're going to play Head Rush.
Awesome. Yeah. Let's hear it.
This is a previously recorded episode.
Where some people can hear the music, some people can't. So for some reason, some people can hear the music and some people can't. So
we're, we're still working out our glitches and stuff like that. So we apologize. We were hoping you'd be able to hear the song, but we're getting mixed signals here, and you weren't able to hear the song. We weren't able to hear the song, but I can't wait.
Yeah.
But hopefully you were able to hear all the wonderful questions and answers, and we'll just keep talking a little bit.
Well,
so what the song is, you have a new song that's coming out.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this, because I'm so bad about music. I mean, how that all comes about. I know you know, Jackie, but so how many songs do you have that are yours?
Well, they're all like mine. Like Frankie has written most of them, and then like Stomp, there's like two separate, completely separate versions. Like there's my version, then there's his version, which like the melodies is basically the same, but like all the lyrics and stuff are different.
Okay,
you know, he was like, that was kind of like one of my very first projects being signed with him. Is he was like, here, take the song and make it yours. So the whole time he's like coaching me and. Working with me, and he wants everything to be my own because they want me to kind of go off and be, you know, a songwriter. So, so he works with me. I send him drafts of everything that I write, and then he kind of goes through and says, okay, this is how we can say this in like a better way, and this is, you know, we can use this.
Incredible coaching.
Yeah, it is.
You know, have a partner like that.
Yeah, it's been amazing.
And then do you do the music as well or the melody as well?
I do the melodies. Sometimes I attempt to do the music, but I'm not like a beat maker or, you know, anything like that. So it's like I'm in the studio. I work with a beat maker in town called, his name is Kyle Sherwood, and I also work with Julian Lambert, and they're actually in Romulus, and we work together, and it's funny because I'm like, make it like this, and I'm like trying to explain how I want it to sound. He's like, I don't get anything that you're saying right now. Let me just do my thing. I'm like, okay.
So
let me ask you the song that we were going to release today.
Yeah.
What's that called?
You Can't Break a Broken Heart.
Okay.
That one, I don't think I've really, like, that one was one that Frankie wrote, and I just really identified with it, and I just loved everything about it. So I was like,
so did you keep it exactly
that one and Head Rush? I kept exactly the same.
Yeah, oh, so those really, were both Frankie wrote.
Yeah,
those
he wrote and, those, and I just loved them so much.
Now,
I was like, I don't think there's anything I can do.
That song, the You Can't Break a Broken Heart, is that the one that Tommy talks about?
Yeah, that's one of Tommy's favorites.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And that one we actually did like six different versions before we finally landed on.
And you're going to be doing a video for that, from what I understand.
Yep. Jimmy's actually going to be the same guy who did the video for Stomp doing that video. Yeah, so that one's not going to be GoPro. That one's he's doing like, you know, he said it's going to be like a movie. So.
Oh, how cool.
I know.
Yeah.
Okay, kind of off the cuff here, but if you were a song, what song would you be?
Oh, my gosh. That's like the hardest question ever.
I know. What do you think about that one?
I know which one I would be.
What?
The Bitch Came Back. I'm just kidding. I love that song.
I would be.
What would you
I
be?
I think I love you.
Oh, God.
I know all the words.
I
know
you,
all the words to David Cassidy's I Think I Love You song.
I picture you being Ain't No Mountain High Enough. No, that's a good song.
I like that song.
Yeah.
I'm not going to even attempt to sing that. Oh, my gosh. We'd scare off the listeners that we have.
Can I ask something?
Yeah.
Was there anything in that behind-the-scenes story with Kid Rock that caught you by surprise? Something that
I think what actually did catch me by surprise was the amount of people involved that I knew.
Right.
The, you know, just the because it was, none of it was an interview. They never, like directly interview Kid Rock. It was all just accounts from people who had worked closely with
right.
him during the time that he was, you know, blowing up and like really right. becoming what he is. And I think that was kind of like what really kind of was, I was like, oh wow, like that, I didn't realize that that person had worked with him. And like, it was just kind of very cool just to kind of see people that you know.
Yeah.
That
worked it didn't really surprise me, but it just reminds you that every success requires so much behind yeah. the scenes. Like
it takes a village.
You go to yeah. You go to a Kid Rock concert, which is going on today, and you know it seems like it's easy and fun. It's rock and roll. What a cool life! Mm-hmm. But the truth is that it's grind yeah. to get there is unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And he did that. I mean, he partied hard, but he worked hard. Worked really hard.
That's the part I read that article and when you told me about it, and I. That's what I was thinking. All these people that had their hand in it. And like you always say, you look at something that's successful or someone that's successful and you don't realize everything that went into
right.
it to get
yeah.
it there.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Which
right.
you're experiencing that now because it could still be how far out
yeah.
before you're a household name.
Right.
I mean, I'm
yeah.
asking.
Right.
I'm seriously asking. How long? You're signed with the New York?
Yeah.
Recording studio, correct?
Is that
entertainment
company?
See, I don't even know the right
That's
verbiage.
Okay.
but it could be, it could still be a few years.
Yeah, it could be 5 years. It could be
right.
You know, if it's 10
yeah,
years.
Yeah, it's not overnight.
I mean,
no,
it just doesn't.
No,
happens overnight.
Nobody,
it's
right?
A grind.
Exactly.
And I think that's the whole point of this segment that we want to do is
what's the wish, what's the way,
and what's in the way, and there are things in the way.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, what's been the biggest struggle or obstacle for you?
I think I've been the biggest struggle
obstacle
for me.
Good answer.
It's been, it's been a weird adjustment to not have a full band backing me. Like, I was so, in a routine with my last band. And I think kind of, breaking the thought processes and kind of, moving on. Okay, you're a solo artist now. You're not in a band setting anymore. So I think that's kind of been, the biggest challenge for me. But at the same time, it's been kind of a blessing because I love being able to say, this is how we're going to do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We're going to do it this way. And, I consult with them.
Is that how you came up with the song, This Time the Bitch Got the Last Word? Is that what that's
that
really
was
about?
Actually
that was about you.
No, I thought it was about you. Seriously, I didn't think it was about you. But now I'm starting to think it's really about her.
Well, it was funny because that song actually, Frankie was in New York and he was working with a beat maker in New York. I think that one was in New York. Started in New York or started in Detroit and went to New York. I don't know. So he calls me and he's like, I got this song. And it just, he goes, I don't know how you're going to feel about it, but, this is what it is. So he played it for me and I was like, oh my God, I love it. Like, you totally know me now.
Wow.
So.
Yeah,
right,
I love
well,
that song. I'm sorry we aren't able to listen to it.
One last thing.
Can't you tell us real quick about JP?
Go ahead real quick.
Oh, John Paul. I mean, my brother he's a rock star. I mean, he's just awesome. I mean, he's so smart and he's picked up. I mean, he learned how to play the piano in a year, which still blows me away.
Really?
Yeah, he just sits there 5 a.m. He's there playing and it's like, dude, we're all sleeping.
So it runs in the family.
Oh,
who,
yeah, for
okay.
sure.
And I know you have another sister, Olivia.
Yep.
She doesn't have any musical interest, does she?
Well, she loves music.
I mean,
she goes
yeah.
to see, she's more into the hip hop scene though. She goes to see rappers and she goes to see DJs and stuff like that.
Right, okay.
And producers and stuff. She doesn't really do the band thing as much. But yeah, she's always constantly sending me hey, check this person out, check this video out.
So where does that come from? Who?
It's got to come from mom and dad. My parents might. Yeah, I mean, I believe when you were pregnant with me, you went and saw.
Oh. How did you know that?
ZZ
who told
Top
you that?
Or something. So yeah,
and it just went right
yeah.
through. Yeah,
yeah, we did. We went to a ZZ Top concert
when you were pregnant with her.
Yeah, why? What's
were
wrong with
wild
that?
And
I wasn't
crazy
smoking
woman.
Anything or drinking. God. See, now here you go. Here
no, no, no.
You took her to a ZZ. She was in my stomach. And look what happened because of that. We
yes.
should take you again
She's
to a ZZ
to be,
Top concert. She, but listen.
Yeah, we're going to be able to say, I'm going to be able to say I knew her when.
Yes. Yeah, so listen, first of all, thank you so much for being
oh,
on.
For
we are
on.
Going to try your song. We're going to try and play.
You Can't Break a Broken
You
Heart.
Can't Break a Broken Heart right now. But.
I love that song.
We're also going to do, we still have to do our sip on this. I don't know if we have enough time. We have 3 minutes left. So
I can do it in less than that, baby.
We'll do it in less than that.
And while I'm telling everybody about the drink of the week.
Yes.
Why don't you do the...
Oh, we have a tradition, and all of our guests get a fortune cookie. Okay, we're not into horoscopes or anything, just fortunes from fortune cookies. So what we're going to do is we're going to toss the cookies, and whichever way they point.
Toss the cookies means to throw up. Yeah. You know that, right?
Well, I know.
But I'm not tossing anything, baby.
So whichever way the prongs are facing from the fortune cookie means that it's your fortune. Okay, so yeah. Rocky, this one's yours over here.
And I've got mine. That.
Whoops.
And oh, this I'm supposed to be talking about the...
Jessica, this one's yours.
Thanks. Okay.
All right.
Okay, so the mind. The drink of the week is called Mind Eraser, which I don't
Aren't
really...
Aren't they all mind erasers?
That's...
When you have a bottle?
Yeah, exactly. I don't really like the name of it because I don't want to erase my whole mind. I've worked hard to get this mind. There's a few things I'd like to erase about. But anyways, what it is it's equal parts. It's really easy. Equal parts of Kahlua, vodka, and soda. And it's a little bit like a Black Russian, but the soda water kind of takes away the real sweet from the Kahlua.
Okay.
Okay. And all you do, and you got to leave it layered. Don't stir it because the white and the dark looks really cool. Add some ice sip on this, not shoot it, Jackie.
All right.
So that's our drink of the week. We hope we helped you get over hump day, right?
Yep. Happy hump day, everybody. And let's try and see if we can hear the song. And if we can, fantastic. If we can't, we hope you join us again next Wednesday.
Yeah, it's nooner time somewhere.
This is a previously recorded episode. This show is broadcasting live from Detroit Sound Studios above Activate Gaming and is part of the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.